Hello, everybody. It's Marcy from wavesofcommunication.com. Welcome to another episode of the Language Facilitation Helpline podcast, and thank you for tuning in today.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Waves of Communication channel. So we're talking about speech imitation today because speech imitation is a hallmark for progress. When your child starts imitating what they hear, that's a sign that they are listening, that they are learning, and that speech is developing. Remember, the goal here is we are helping kids transfer their communication from nonverbal behavior-based communication language that they make up to teach you. And we're getting them to choose to shift and give that up and shift it into real functional spoken language that they are using independently. And when they, one of the processes that you see as they make the shift from that behavior into real speech is they start to parrot and imitate other people. And it's one of the stages that kids go through. And I have some really important tips for you about that topic. In fact, on this video, I'm going to be sharing five things that every language facilitator needs to know about speech imitation. I'm just going to share these five things. And then if you stay tuned, we're going to also talk about five tips that you can use to motivate natural speech imitation and practice. Because again, when we hear kids imitating the speech that they're listening to, that's a sign that they are making effort to try and practice these new words that they're hearing. And we like to see that. So, and before I get into doing all that, I have a few things that I want to share with you about the platform. Now, one of the reasons that I'm so energized is I'm getting ready to go next week to a podcast conference. It's in Dallas, and I'm hosting a meetup there. You can meet me in person when you visit me on the 24th of August. But the other thing that I'm excited about this podcast conference is I'm going to meet other creators there, other people who have offered, who are offering the services, the coaching, the support, the strategies, the information that parents are not receiving from the systems. They're creating their own platforms and they're creating content to share this out. And I'm going to be going to a really great speed networking. It's sort of like speed dating for podcasters. And it's hosted by a platform. I know this is a long-winded thing, and I promise you it's going to be worth it for you, because this platform is something that they wanted us to join so that we can learn about their platform in order to go to their speed networking. And I'm already starting to network with other people before the podcast conference even goes. And that's why I want to share with you really quick. This platform is called Swell, the Swell app. You can get it in the App Store and Google Play. It's not sponsored. I just got on here and I posted one question last night. Why do you believe so many kids are showing speech delay in 2022? And I'm getting some really amazing, exciting responses from people who are sharing their perspective on late talking and why they think, and the things they're talking about are environmental and mindset things that I find are affecting parents. And these are other professionals. One's a teacher, one's a evaluator, another one's just a mom who has a nephew or a niece who's late talking. And they are sharing their perspective about why they think it's going on. And it's resonating almost exactly with what I hear in this group, from the comments I get from people, from the things I see in Facebook and YouTube. And what I love about the Swell app is that it's spoken language. It's really you sharing your story, talking to people about them sharing their situation and offering the opportunity for you to provide your input. And you, what you can learn from other people who are answering this question is why I'm sending you there. It's another source of information. When I post things, you'll find people who resonate with my kind of content, and you can follow them too and learn and build your own community of people around you who you trust. If they're not in your real world at the school, if you're homeschooling, if you've chosen to do this on your own, you want to have access to other people who are like-minded, who are in our tribe of people who understand that it is our responsibility to equip and empower the kids to do the work that they need to shift from whatever they're using to communicate now into spoken language. So I just wanted to remind you about the Swell app and the Meetup and all these other things that are available to you, because it's your role as the language facilitator to continually equip and empower yourself to increase your skills. Okay. So now that I've talked about the Meetup and all of that, we'll get more into resources later, but I really know you're waiting to see these five tips, things that you need to know. We're going to get to the tips when we're done with the things you need to know. But first, you need to know these things when you're facilitating language so that you don't get on the wrong track, because there is a way to facilitate imitation that will block your process. And that's what I want to talk about first. And it's this. Number one thing you need to know about speech imitation is that kids will imitate. They will, when they know that they will be rewarded. They will learn. They're just like operant conditioning, right? If I can get something for this, I will. That's what motivates them. I'll listen. I'll memorize the things that I need to say to make me get the reward. And remember, they're not memorizing them to learn them as spoken language. They're memorizing them to get the reward. This is a prompted imitation. So future imitation, if you are in this number one camp and you have facilitated in imitation through prompting, what you need to know is that future imitation along this strategy will require you to constantly be in front of the child, teaching them the words you want them to memorize, then prompting them to say them while you hold up some reward. And that reward has to be increasingly attractive, because they'll stop doing the same thing to get the same reward. It gets boring. They'll figure out how to just get the reward themselves without doing this imitative speech requesting business that people prompt and facilitate. And you know what the thing is? When you hear this, it feels really good. Like, oh yeah, my child says cookie every time he wants to say cookie, and I don't even have to prompt it anymore. It's all right. It's still a prompted response. You have to set up the scenario and you hold the space. You might not be saying say cookie, but you might be saying, you know, holding the cookies there, sort of waiting without having to say the prompt, because you've prompted so many times, all you got to do is show the cookies. That's the prompt. You're using a visual prompt instead of an auditory prompt. Say these words. So you got to know, if you are prompting imitation and you're getting more imitation, you're going to have to keep prompting if you want to keep hearing it. And that's the truth, the number one truth that you need to know about imitation. Okay, let's talk about the second thing that every language facilitator parent needs to know about speech imitation as you're all out there trying to facilitate it. Number two is this one. Late talkers imitate inaccurately when they are expected to say a standard response to prompts, such as asking questions when you already know and maybe even have said the answer. So I had the opportunity to do an analysis this week, and I was watching what a speech therapist was doing. It was a mom who sent me a recording of a speech therapist. And this speech therapist's strategy was to tell the story and then ask the question. It's like that auditory comprehension test we do. The boy is holding a blue ball. What is the boy holding? And then wait to see if the child will answer. Remember, these are questions that you're asking the child. Maybe you didn't say the boy is holding the blue ball. Maybe you just were pointing at something or you were saying something. Remember, these are questions that the facilitator already knows the answer to, yet they still ask this question because I've said the thing I want you to imitate. Can you pick out the part that you're supposed to say? That's an expected response. And then what usually happens with late talkers in this case is they say, you know, what is the boy wearing? And then they get exactly the same. What is the boy wearing? They don't get the answer to the question because these kids are stuck in imitation of memorized responses to the answers to these questions. And that's why they're imitating inaccurately. So number two applies to you. If you are modeling all kinds of speech, you're hoping your late talker will pick up and they don't. Or they say exactly what you're saying and it's inaccurate, right? They're imitating parts of it. They're not taking the words you're saying and making it their own to use for their own. They're just imitating while you're doing things to try to literally keep up and answer the questions again, because they know you are expecting this response and they're just trying to find the answer to the question. It's not natural speech, yet it is still imitated. Because remember, speech therapists are counting this as an accurate response. If you are, their goal is auditory comprehension and they need a response from the late talker, all they have to do is imitate the thing that they saw, and then the speech therapist knows they understood. But remember, this is just a receptive language activity. Kids will imitate what they hear receptively just as their process of memorizing the correct answer. But it's not what you want to hear. It's just their version of what they think you want to hear. And it's never accurate because this isn't a mind reading exercise. This is supposed to be a conversation where everybody shares their own input. You don't tell people what to say. Now I'm done. Say you're done. Now I'm ready to go. Say ready to go. Now we're doing this. Say this. Because even if you're not saying the prompts, if you're asking the questions, I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? Hoping the child will say, yes, I'm ready to go. But they don't. They'll say, are you ready to go? They'll say the same thing you say. That's inaccurate imitation caused by, again, a prompt-based facilitation. Okay? So now let's talk about the good kind of imitation, the reasons that children do choose to imitate what you say. Because they do. Remember, number one and number two, they choose to imitate. All of these are choice activities. But at number three is late talkers will imitate speech repeatedly when they want you to repeat and or expand the idea, because they don't know the language to do it themselves. And they're relying on you to demonstrate how should it be. Remember all those things where you could say, give me your pencil, or I want this. You know, a lot of parents will teach those I want phrases and then expect kids to use them spontaneously. And it really is just a trained imitation. That's what we talked about in the last one. In this one, we're talking about the child who will come to you and say, cookie, 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 cookie. You know, and you hear like the tone of that thing, or gimme cookie, gimme cookie, gimme cookie, gimme cookie. They'll repeat or imitate phrases that they heard or that worked for them. Come here. I want to go. Let's go. Are you ready? You know, they'll say these little phrases that they've heard other people using successfully. And they're doing it to kind of reverse the roles. Instead of responding to you prompting them, they're actually prompting you by saying, cookie. And then you say, oh, you want to talk about cookies. That's what we're going to get into the strategies later. But that's what they're prompting you to do. And a smart language facilitator will give back more than they're getting. They won't say, yes, cookie, you want cookie, here's a cookie, right? The kids will keep doing that. They'll keep saying, here's a cookie, I want a cookie, cookie, please. They'll say the phrases that work because they know they work. And they're theirs now because they're coming to you. That's not imitative, it's delayed imitative. They've learned from your repeated models, right? But they don't know any more than just that little phrase. And they say the word, phrase, sound, whatever level they are. They say what they know, hoping you will pick it up. Just like you say what you know they know, hoping they will pick it up. They're doing this to you to prompt you to give them more. And they will. They'll say the things that they like because they want you to keep talking about it. They're sparking conversation through their delayed imitation. And that's a good sign. It's a sign that they're listening to you, thinking about it on their own and bringing it out and teaching and talking to you later. They value what you're saying, they're learning from it and they're figuring out how to use it themselves. The imitation isn't exact at this level, but it is representative of what you've been saying. You know, you can pick out where he found that or she found that phrase. Where did she pick up this phrase? Because they heard it somewhere and they value it enough to be using it on their own. So that's why that happens, number three. Now we've got two more. Number four is that late talkers start imitating when they hear speech that resonates with their ideas. Your statements trigger them to say what you say because they agree with you. Wow, it's a really hot day. Your kid will say, hot day. I want to use the orange one, or this one is orange, and they'll say orange, or they'll say this one, right? The late talkers are learning. They are starting now with this kind of imitation to pick apart the things you're saying, to look for valuable things that they can take and use for their own. Ooh, I like that phrase. I want to say that. I want to hear it again. And if it resonates with what they're saying, that's how they get attracted to it in the first place. Wait, you're thinking about the same thing I'm saying. Now I'm going to stop coming at it with my own ego and listen to you a little bit. And I'll say what you're saying. I might be at this stage, they might even join you while you're talking. You're describing how you're pouring the milk and you're stirring the chocolate in or whatever. And you're all the things that you are excited about, like, this is so fun, I can't wait to do it again, you know, or man, this is miserable, I'm so hot. Like when you start to share your opinions and feelings and your late talker relates to those feelings, they'll be like, yeah, I do, I agree, hot, sweaty. And they'll even add to it, right? That's what's exciting when you hear this kind of imitation is now it's not just the literal phrases you're saying, it's your ideas that they're picking up, imitating the words, a few words, a little bit here and there, and they're modifying it even to make it their own to expand the conversation. Remember, this is what they were prompting you to do. And they're using their imitation. This is why therapists and parents and language facilitators need to get excited when they hear their kids starting to come out with things that make sense and resonate with the exact. It's not going to be accurate, but it will resonate with exactly what's going on. And then you know your child is building spoken language that they can use, right? From your language models. They're learning from your language models to develop the proper language, the right language, the accurate, grammatically correct things over time, because you're talking with them about the things that they're learning. And they already know the vocabulary for ball and throw and catch, but, you know, heavy ball, this one's easier, I like this better. Oh no, the ball is flat. Like all those things around ball throwing are what your late talker is learning every time you repeat those experiences and you continue to give them more spoken language. Like I said, we're going to get into the strategies, but they love it when you start talking about what they're thinking about and they'll start chiming in and imitating you. That's how you know you're on track. First, they look at you and smile and go like, wow, I can't believe you're saying the same thing I say. Think about when your girlfriend or husband or partner or anybody out there starts talking about, you see something at the same time and they say what you're thinking. You're like, yeah, you automatically chime in. Even if it's just, yeah, this is what usually happens first. The late talker will start saying, yeah, 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 yeah. Then you'll start to hear hot or my turn or, you know, whatever. No way. You know, I don't like that. No way. They'll throw their own angle, whatever else they learned from you. They're looking at being like you. They want to talk in the same way that you do. Okay. Now let's talk about number five. Late talkers who see value in your speech models will join you as you're talking choral speaking. Remember, I talked about that in the last one. So they can practice the speech they want to learn while they watch and imitate you. These are the kids that are like, all right, I'm a talker. I'm going to be a talker and I want to talk like you. And they'll start to physically pull the speech out of you because they want to watch. They want to do it. They're trying to perfect it. They're trying to get better and better and better because you continually show up and give them valuable things to listen to that resonate with what they are, and their real sentences that make them sound like big kids who are confident in their ability to share their ideas with the world. They learn how to do this from you sharing your ideas with the world. They want to be like you. They learn to talk like you. They are your mirror. When you see them imitating you, pay attention. That's what they're paying attention to. It's like the parents who hear the kids start cursing. Your child is paying attention. What are you modeling for them? What you know they're paying attention to is what they find valuable in what you say. It may not be the same thing you find valuable, right? We all show up for the lecture with a different mindset. That you're getting a willing participant who wants to imitate you and will be motivated and excited to imitate the words that you have to say because they're valuable and resonate and make sense and help them learn how to expand their own language, not just get through the day to get what they want. They will say those things. They will imitate those things. We're going to be talking about 5 tips that I have for you to help you facilitate more motivation to join you, to listen, to learn from what you're saying, to pick up those phrases and actually use them. It might sound like imitation, but it's the real process of using imitated phrases, using practicing, saying things over and over as a tool. These lay talkers need to do this to improve their spoken language. This is your version of the gym work, the speech therapy, the whatever, your 2 to 3 hours every day using these strategies will help you facilitate the spoken language. Now we're going to be talking about 5 tips to motivate natural speech imitation and practice. And here is A, which is talk about your own experiences. Instead of describing what you and the child are doing, talk about how and why you chose to take the actions that you do, okay? Because lay talkers care about this. So here is a family who is out on an exploration. They've given these kids some binoculars. And then these kids they don't know what to do with these things. But watch the parents as they point to things and they look up in the trees and they talk about, look at this, and I'm looking up. And even though the boys are just like, now they've listened, they're looking up because they're following the directions and they're doing those things. And then as they see things that they spot in their environment, I see a bird, I see a whatever, and they talk about why they spotted it or how they spotted it. Look, it's there in the tree, it's behind that branch, it's under the rock, it's over here. Where and how they're using those things and how to deal with the settings on them and all the things that they want these kids to be able to do independently. Like they want to teach an independent skill. And so what they've done is they're just talking about their own experience. I'm in the woods. I want to spot those things. I need something to see it up close. My sunglasses aren't good enough. They can compare tools. They can talk about their future. And they add these things that are interesting to the child. Because again, instead of just describing what you're doing, now we're walking in the woods. I'm pointing at the bird. Do you see me pointing at the bird? That's because there's a bird in the tree, like all of that. That's not necessary for lay talkers. Just do it. Show them how the experience looks, how it's supposed to be, because they want to be like you. Okay? Let's look at B. The second tip I have for you is to tell stories about your own experiences over and over. You got to talk about, I know your kids like to hear about Paw Patrol and Peppa Pig and all that other stuff, but even more than that, what will get them imitating and practicing speech is to hear about their own experiences. So you want to talk about these things over and over and include all the details about how everybody feels. And the lay talker will relate to your experiences and be motivated to chime in. And this is what we're going for. This dad has got a video that he's sharing with his son of a family experience they had. Now watch, he's talking about what's going on and they see the reaction. Look how funny it is. Look when he did this. this. He's pointing out in the video the things that they did. And the son's like reacting and he's seeing how funny it is. Now look at this. Now look at this. He's imitating what the dad did to point to the video and talk about the details. And so this is what you're trying to facilitate here. You want the lay talker to see and then see how they're sharing in their mutual, like, that's hilarious, or that's embarrassing, or that's cringy, or that's, you know, whatever it was, scary, that they're looking at together. And they were there experiencing it the first time. That's why when they looked at it together, you saw them both make the same face. Imitated. They imitated. The dad said, let's get excited and watch this video about this exciting, funny thing. And the child did. He opened the door. The dad opened the door. The child came in and through their joint experiences, it reminded the lay talker of things that they already knew, that they already did. They already facilitated in the past. Now he gets to experience it again and they get to repeat the experience of imitation. Right? Imitation of the same experience. That's another tip that you can use to help your lay talker start to be motivated to imitate your speech. When you repeat experiences, they'll repeat the speech that you facilitated the first time when you repeat it. Okay. Number three, see the tips that we're going to talk about. Incorporate movement experiences. This is key that a lot of people don't realize. There's something about our neurology. I learned this from a Dr. Harry that I talked to a long time ago who did a lot of fMRI studies on the brain. And he's learned that when there is movement involved, like when we're on roller coasters or swings or all of those things, that speech is triggered, that we can't help but vocalizing. It might not be words at first. It's like when you stub your toe, you can't help but say that chosen curse word that comes out. You didn't even think about it, but it came out because it was triggered. Movement and emotion both trigger kids to start talking. So the idea here is to incorporate movement experiences at the same time you provide language models. This dad who's doing what every lay talker loves is swinging, the swinging. Now he's swinging and this lay talker is it's getting faster and faster as they move through the process and swing and move. Triggering dopamine. It's triggering neuroplasticity. It's triggering connection. It's triggering listening and focus and attention. All the stuff. D here is to describe the tools and strategies you're using to create something fun, solve a problem, or complete a challenge. And lay talkers will want to try these effective tools for themselves because, remember, you know more about how to do this job than they do. You're the grown-up. And what we're trying to do with the lay talker is to get them also excited to jump on that bandwagon and practice using the tools because they want to be excellent like you. They want to be excellent talkers. I've got a mom here who is coloring with her lay talker. She's got the brown crayon and she doesn't really know what to do, but look at the mom. She's looking right at her. She's looking at her face. She's talking about the colors they need, talking about how to do it, and she's even physically connecting with her, giving her little kisses as they talk about what to do. She's using a little bounce in her voice. She's using a little rhythm and she's not doing any pressure. Don't hurry. Let's have a few more kisses before we get started. And then they can move forward and get going in this lay talker will imitate. It's instead of taking her hand and hand over hand drawing the tree or whatever, this mom left the door open for the lay talker to choose to follow that direction, imitate the action, do what I do so that, you know, the outcome happens and the lay talker feels very independent about it, yet you still guided them through the whole thing. They're imitating you while you're doing your activities together, okay? That's going to facilitate more imitation. And then the last one that I have for you is this. Discuss your preferences and why you chose the clothes, food, and other things that add to the experience of your life. Okay? So you choose things like I choose this dress, I choose this food, I choose this whatever. There are reasons that you choose things. Lay talkers also have the same experience and you can show them how to use language to make choices by modeling the process. So this family's at the bazaar, they're shopping, and this mom says, you can have that one or that one or that one. And she's describing them. And that one has lights, or this one has five stars, or this one is big, or this one is small, and all those things. And she's letting him decide. He'll say the word. She's given him lots of options, the big one, the small one, the light one, the big whatever. And then through those models of, look at these options, I like the big one, the little one is cute, you know, why you would choose those other options. And then the lay talker will also imitate your behavior of making a choice based on their preferences. I like sour, I like sweet, I like big, I like little. And depending on the situation, you could have different preferences. And then you need to talk about that. I like one, you like the other, but we still can be friends. We can still share. You get the dark meat, I get the light meat, you know, all of that stuff. This is how cooperatively you'll facilitate imitation, because the lay talker is interested in following your ideas. You know, oh, that's how you choose. How do I know if I want the big one or a little one? Oh, the little one's cute, but the big one has more. Okay, which was more important to me? Cute or more? Okay, more is more important, so I'm going to choose the big one. Talking through these ideas, the choices that you make, your opinions. This is how lay talkers, this is what they want to imitate. They already know what it is, how it happened. They know that stuff because, remember, they've been watching how it happened and what happened. They've been watching visually. They already know those things, and they already know the labels to describe these. He's going up, he's going down, he's kicking, he's throwing, he's running, he's whatever. They know what all that means, but it doesn't provide value to them to develop more spoken language unless you expand on those things that you hear the lay talker imitating. So when you hear imitation, it's just your sign that you're on the right track. And every time you hear them imitate, you give them more. That's what all five of these strategies are about. Not saying the same thing they're saying, hoping they'll say it again because you love to hear them say it. That's not going to help them or you get out of this frustration of how come he's not talking on his own, right? Because it's still prompted. So you get the imitation that you want to facilitate the language that you really want to facilitate. And that's how you move forward. Okay, so we do have a question. Let's get into the comments. Preeti has a question. She says, hi, Marcy. Hi, Preeti. She says, my son has recently turned 3.5 and is now picking words when we play. In regular conversations or when he really needs something, he uses verbal language as a last resort. When he thinks we are not understanding his nonverbal cues, is it possible that he is scared or unsure of his verbal skills? What I'm guessing, because I don't know, again, I don't know your situation, but what could be happening here? Remember, we know that this lay talker can say words. We know that he does know how, like you said, he's picking words. So if he really needs something, then he'll come to say. And it often happens that lay talkers will use more of their spoken language at school, daycare, with the nanny, with dad, with grandma, with people who are not their primary language facilitator. They may use more of their language, and it's not because they're scared to talk. It's because they know you know what they know. Because you are continually responding to the nonverbal communication. If you pretend that you don't understand him, then you look like the other people, nanny, grandma, other people. And so he has to pull out his best communication, because the point is your child wants you to understand him. And if he's not using speech that you know he can use, he assumes you already do. And that could be because you're saying things and prompting speech that you don't, you know, that you already know he knows, and you're not giving him more. So in this kind of situation, remember, whenever your lay talker comes to you and says something, anything, non-verbally, verbally, it's all got a message, all behaviors, communication. Your job, the primary thing to help expand that into the speech that you really want to hear, is you give them 3 full sentences, grammatically correct sentences, spoken about in resonance with this topic. And then you remind them that this is the kind of speech that you are expecting. If you continually respond, because remember, also, if you just talk and say you want, you're not expanding, you're just describing. You tell me you want a cookie, here's your cookie. Lay talker knows you understand them, but there's nothing else for them to listen to because you're just keeping them in compliance because they're keeping you in compliance. That's level three. Still prompted, even though they're saying words when they want, they're just doing it to prompt you to give them more. It's not proper needs-based spoken language. But then when they go to other people, all of a sudden they pop up to level four because they know these other people won't prompt them and read their mind to say things they know the answers to. They assume these people don't know the answers, right? Your caveat here is your lay talker knows when you get him and they know when you don't. So if you want to get a verbal response that's different than the one that you have to let your child know that what their current communication is doesn't make sense to you. I don't understand what that means. Now, you can't change to play stupid. Your lay talker knows that every time they do the dance, you take them to the bathroom. And then suddenly they start doing the dance and you stop taking them to the bathroom. They will think that you don't care about what they're saying. Because they know you understand. And now you're just refusing to listen to them. So you're going to get a rebel against that. You can't play dumb with your lay talkers. They read your mind as much as you read theirs. And this is what happens when you fall into that thing where you're not prompting maybe even responses. You're just giving a lot of the same descriptions. You're following your child and talking about what he's doing instead of presenting new novel things for your lay talker to come and join you with. When you looked at all the parents in the five videos that I shared today, they were creating opportunities that were attractive enough for those late talking kids to want to join them. Look, let's watch this video together. Let's go for a walk together. Let's go out together. They didn't have to run and track down their kids. They already knew how to facilitate attention and focus because we're talking about imitation here. Kids are not going to imitate speech, pick up and use and alter and turn into their own functional spoken language. They won't do it if they don't value it. It goes right by. Okay, so that is the response to that question. Let me just say really quick, I do have, if you have a question, this is your last opportunity to post a question, a detailed question about what's going on. I did get some feedback. It often happens that parents who find the channel, maybe they find one video, autism diagnosis or ear infection video, or they got referred to a video from, you know, a Facebook group or something like that. And then they realize all the value that's here on the channel and they start to binge watch videos for the weekend. And that's what happened with Casey. So Casey says, swapping the prompting challenge. So on that swapping the prompting challenge video, that was the first one she found. Now she has a 13-year-old late talker and she is realizing that she has been stuck in prompt. Her kids probably the prompt dependent or prompt avoidant by 13 years old. And that's why she's so frustrated, looking for alternatives, found me on YouTube. And this is what she says. She realizes that she can change. She can stop doing prompting and she has other alternatives. Now, another thing that she's doing, so this is another video. This is the one about questions. Oh dear, I used to tell my kid to stop echolalia. Sorry, this is the echolalia video because that's probably where her lay talker is completely using echolalic speech. I tell her to stop making funny sounds. Now I understand that it's trial and error for her to learn what she needs to say. And so this mom is figuring out what is the foundation for the speech that she's hearing. She's starting to analyze her actions with the swapping the prompting video and at the same time her child's responses to her actions with that echolalia video. And then she watched the questions video and she says, your video about asking questions is a blessing from the divine. I get it finally. I got your book. We used to think questions make the child think. So it was supposed to be good. But again, she didn't understand that her lay talker wasn't equipped to answer questions. And that was just causing frustration and echolalia and all the other things that she's seeing. Now, it's not uncommon for parents to watch a few videos and then really find some resonance in this community. They see that other parents are going through the same kinds of things that you are. Their kids are going through all these stages as they develop their spoken language, and they're getting the workbook. So you can get the workbook too. It's available in 4 different versions all over the world. You can get this in 3 languages. The other languages are coming out as soon as I get through all these meetups and all this other things. Who knows the kind of resources that I'll be sharing with you. So it's important for you to stay tuned. Stay tuned and follow the channel so that you can take advantage of all these resources and do like these other parents and get your kids talking. Here's another question. Hi, Marcy. I have attached one webinar for the functional medicine. They said, I've attached a webinar. I don't know if you, maybe you did that on Facebook. She's in the Facebook group. They said that the mitochondria is not functioning well in speech delayed children. If we change the lifestyle and diet, progress is quicker. Also asked to do nutrition, gut analysis, and metal in body test. What do you say on this? I follow your session and my child moved to get to great extent. So I actually on yesterday's video, I shared a video that I have on the YouTube channel, why there is no magic pill that can replace language facilitation. Now, what these people are saying about functional medicine, about gut brain, about health, about avoiding toxins in the food that you eat and avoiding, you know, that's why this diet is so important, because what you put into your body affects how your brain develops. And we've always known this. I mean, kids who are malnourished because they don't eat at home, they do poorly in school. So that's why they have feeding programs at school. So malnourishment, toxicity, you know, like I said, kids not getting all the vitamins they need, not getting enough, all of that stuff can certainly affect the brain. And functional medicine, I get it. However, and all of the above, like I said, it might be true, but remember, this is one of those that this and that are also true, because you do have to have a healthy body to get the best results with language facilitation, because you are equipping a child to evolve their basic communication, their primary way that they get their wants and needs met. And so if they're not healthy, they're focusing on getting healthy. They're not focusing on changing their current communication system. So if your child's gut brain situation is not well, and you find this out because you've actually had blood work, or you've had some kind of examination, or you've had some kind of thing to see that your child is unwell, and then you can talk with your child about how this unwellness is affecting their life. I would talk with every child. If you're going to give them remedies, they need to understand, just like we're not healing them. All healing is self-healing. Why am I taking this pill? Your lay talker needs to understand that it's part of what healing is, especially when we're talking about this cellular level healing at the core, where, you know, like I said, a lot of kids in the United States, they've got, you know, corn syrup in their veins, practically. If you took a DNA sample or cellular sample of the makeup of people, it changes based on their diet. And so, of course, you're going to see a difference in a child's ability. And nothing is going to replace the spoken language models from human beings that is necessary for your lay talker to learn speech. Now, when they're healthy, they can listen better. When they're healthy, they can follow directions. They have better attention. They're in a better mood. You know, all of those things help them listen and learn better. But unless they have something to listen to and learn from, they're not going to. They're going to still resort, because remember, they're not stumps. They're humans. They're curious. They're kids. And if you don't provide them something to be curious and want to learn and evolve and advance their own skills in, motivate them to try hard and evolve, they will sit in the corner with a device. You only have so much time with this late talker. Your influence, you're powerful. Your influence, if you want to do wonderful, kind language facilitation 4 times a day, and then 2 times a day, you have to hold your child down to force them to take something because you believe that that pill is just as important as this connected time. And you forget that the fact that you have to hold your child down and force them to do anything is separating them, is undoing all the connection and contact and facilitation and imitation and all the stuff we talked about on this. That you want to facilitate, you're undoing it. Because who's going to trust you? Your late talkers, you have to create opportunities for your late talker to want to show up. And unless you present them to them, you can give them all the fish oil and brain training and zaps and diet change and all that stuff. You can do all that. And you can spend a lot of time, money, and energy managing a kid's diet while you're at the store and talking on the doctor and in consultations with dietitians, and all that time could be spent hanging out with your late talker and teaching them the spoken language for what they're doing while you're Google Universitying if their gut brain is broken or something like that. And here's the other thing, Sunita. You have followed these strategies functionally with your late talker, and I didn't tell you to give them anything besides your attention, love, and language models. And then it reminds you again that it's environmental and mindset things that are keeping your late talker blocked. And when you overcome those blockages, your late talker starts to engage. They practice. They imitate. The speech starts to come. It starts to evolve. And that's what you're facilitating. That's the whole point here. So that is what I have to say about all of that. If you want additional guidance and coaching and assistance and all that stuff, then you can find me on wavesofcommunication.com and we can talk about your current situation. I've got 2 calls this week with parents that want guidance. They got the workbook. They've been watching the videos. They're worried about their kids being mislabeled, misdiagnosed. The systems are not responding to their needs and wants with solutions that they feel good about. So they are creating these solutions themselves, and I'm coaching them. And we're doing it all in the Waves of Communication community. So welcome. I'm so glad you're here. Get the newsletter, get the workbook, and I'll see you all on the next video. Bye for now.
Thanks for tuning in today. I hope you have been inspired to have some fun and take some inspired action on your unique language facilitation journey. With a whole range of Waves of Communication resources, from free content to customized coaching, you now have access to everything you need to elevate spoken language to infinite success. You are welcome to get your journey started with my 11-week Language Facilitation Journey to Speech workbook. This tool is helping parents worldwide create nonstop language facilitation opportunities that elevate spoken language beyond even their own expectations. You can access this workbook and all of the language facilitation resources on my website, wavesofcommunication.com.